Good morning and welcome to Bethlehem Primitive Baptist Church, the House of Bread, on this beautiful Lord's Day. The sun is shining this morning, although there is some cloud cover. But we're thankful that the Son of Righteousness, the Lord Jesus Christ, shines 24/7. And thank God that He does. And He shines in our hearts this day. So as we come this morning, we're thankful to be here. And trust now that as we look in God's Word that you're praying for yourselves and for me, that God's Word would have liberty in our hearts and in our minds this day. I've been in a series of messages from Paul's letter to the Ephesians. This morning, turn with me to Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5. We know that the epistle of Paul to the church in Ephesus can be broadly divided into two divisions. The first three chapters tell us of the great work that God did for us through Jesus Christ that we could not do for ourselves. The work of eternal redemption. Jesus came in the fullness of time according to the will of His Heavenly Father, and He went to that cruel Roman cross, died the most horrible death that's ever been devised by mankind, but the shedding of His blood redeemed us from our sins, past, present, and future, and both the nature of sin and the practice of sin. And then chapters 4, 5, and 6 deal with our responsibility. Some will wrongly say that if I have been saved by the amazing grace of God and that my eternal home in heaven is secure and there's nothing I can do to lose my salvation, then I'll just do what I want to do. And then when I die, I'll go to heaven, regardless of what I do while I'm living in this world. Well, it's true, if you're a child of God, once saved, always saved, there's no way you can ever lose your eternal salvation. But when you're a born-again Christian, a born-again child of God, your desires have changed. You no longer want to do those things that you used to do before the Lord came to you, before the Holy Spirit gave you new life in Christ. Your want to has changed. So we'll no longer want to live in sin, but we want to do those things that praise and please our Heavenly Father. Our desires will be His desires. In chapter 5, we see a further development from chapter 4 of the walk of the Spirit-filled believer. That would be our title, the walk of the Spirit-filled believer. Now, in chapter 4, he told us to walk worthy of the vocation wherewith we are called. That is, that we are to conduct our lives in a manner consistent with our calling. We've been called with a high calling by the effectual calling, the drawing power of the Holy Spirit of Christ, and we are changed. We're no longer the same. Jesus lives in your heart and mine today. And so we are to walk worthy of the high calling that is ours in Christ. Now in chapter 5, he speaks about walking in love and walking in the light. Jesus said in John 8 and 12, I am the light of the world. He who followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. Now let's read verses 8 through 14. Ephesians 5, verses 8 through 14. For ye were sometimes darkness, but now are you light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth, proving what is acceptable unto the Lord. And have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. For it is a shame even to speak of those things which are done of them in secret. But all things that are reproved are made manifest by the light. For whatsoever does make manifest is light. Wherefore he saith, Awake thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. Let us pray. Kind Heavenly Father, we thank you now for the privilege of prayer and of worship. Jesus said that my house is, first of all, a house of prayer. And we know that we cannot worship you. We can't do anything worthwhile without first going to you in prayer. So now, we pray that you might give us worshiping grace, that we might be able to have liberty of understanding, that our hearts might be enlightened by the shining light of Christ in us, by the Spirit of God, that we might understand how to walk in love and how to walk in your light. So be with us now. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. We find in the first two verses here of chapter 5, he says, Be you therefore followers of God as dear children. The word therefore refers back to the previous chapter, primarily the last verse, because as you read a little farther in chapter 5, he goes back to that context of forgiveness. And we find in verse 32 of chapter 4 where he says, And be you kind one to another, be tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake has forgiven you. So therefore, we are to be followers of God as dear children. The word followers in that verse literally means an imitator. We are to imitate God. Now, how can we do that? And then he says, as dear children. The idea here is when we look at little children, small children, before they get too old and rebellious, they normally have a desire to imitate their father. And isn't that a wonderful but yet awesome responsibility for a father to know that his son or daughter looks up to him and wants to be like him, wants to imitate their father or mother? That should cause us to have great pause in our lives, and it should cause us to be careful what we say, how we act, and what we do as a parent. Because little eyes watch us when we are doing anything. We know that our children are watching what we do and what we say. And so we should always be imitators of God. That is, to do and say what He would do. And we find that Jesus was God manifested in the flesh. He told His disciples in John chapter 14, If you have seen Me, you have seen My Father in heaven. Little children came to Jesus. And he told his disciples, "Suffer the little children to come unto me, and forbid them not, for of such is the kingdom of heaven." And so we should desire to be imitators of our Heavenly Father, just like little children have a desire to follow in the footsteps of their earthly fathers. And then how are we to do this? Verse 2, he says, "And walk in love." You know, in the Old Testament, many times you get the idea that God's people walked after God not out of love for Him, but more out of a fear of His judgment on their sins. Now, yes, we are to have a healthy fear of the Lord. The fear of the Lord, the Bible teaches, is the beginning of both wisdom and understanding. But our service to God is not to be motivated by a fear of His judgment when we fail, but rather is to be motivated by divine love. And the Bible says in 1 John 4:19, we love Him. How? Why? Because He first loved us. And so we find that we are to love God supremely and love one another dearly. Jesus says in the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 22, He summarized all of His law in two commandments. Love God with all of your heart, mind, soul, and spirit. And love your neighbor as yourself. But then Jesus said in John 13:35, love one another as I have loved you. So how did Jesus love you? He loved you by His actions. Not just by what He said, but more importantly by what He did for us. He loved you enough to die for your sins on Calvary's cross. And we are to love God enough and to love each other enough that our actions toward each other would prove that our desire for each other is the best. That we desire the best for one another. So He says, walk in love just like Christ also has loved us. And what did He do? He has given Himself for us an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling Savior. He gave Himself. He didn't have anything else to give other than Himself. Now, He is the Creator of heaven and earth. He owns the cattle of 1,000 hills. But we know there's nothing in creation that could ever have redeemed us from our sin other than a perfect sacrifice. Jesus is that perfect sacrifice. Look in Galatians chapter 1. And verse number 4, Galatians chapter 1, and verse number 4. He says, concerning Jesus, Galatians chapter 1, he says, grace to you and peace from God the Father and from our Lord Jesus Christ, who gave Himself. He gave Himself for our sins, that He might deliver us from this present evil world according to the will of God and our Father, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. He gave Himself. He did not give anything else except Himself for the deliverance from our sins and from this present evil world. evil world. See, we don't have to wait till we get to heaven to enjoy our salvation. Thank God we don't. We have deliverance now, and we can live pleasing unto Him now. And so He says that we are to walk in love just like Christ walked in love. And the offering and sacrifice that Christ offered to God on our behalf was a sweet smelling savor unto the Lord. That means it was pleasing to God. When Jesus died, He offered Himself without spot to God, and God accepted that offering. Now, verses 3 through 7 tell us more again about the works of the carnal flesh, the works of the old sinful man. And they're hard to read, but we're familiar with them because all of us have been guilty from time to time of sinful behavior. But on the other hand, he says in 3 through 7, but fornication or uncleanness or covetousness, let it not be once named among you, as becometh saints. The word becometh is another word that means worthy. Walk worthy of the vocation wherewith we are called. Neither filthiness, nor foolish talking, nor jesting, which is not convenient or right, but rather giving of thanks. For this you know, that no whoremonger, nor unclean person, nor covetous man, who is an idolater, an idol worshiper, has any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. Those who persist fully in those behaviors, the Bible would declare, have not the Lord. Don't let anyone deceive you with vain words, for because of these things comes the wrath of God on the children of disobedience. That phrase is familiar to Ephesians. Go back in chapter 2. He says in verse 2 of chapter 2, and you has He quickened who are dead in sins, trespasses and sins, wherein in time past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the old devil, and the spirit that now works in whom? The children of disobedience. But look at verse 7 of our text in chapter 5. Be not you therefore partakers with them. We've been changed. We've been given a new heart. We've been given a new desire. We no longer have a desire to wallow in the sins of the flesh. Because we were sometimes darkness, but now. I love that phrase, but now. But now are you light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. Walk in keeping with who you are in Christ. And again, I want to refer one more time to John chapter 8 and verse 12, where Jesus said, I am the light of the world. He who follows me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. If we follow after Him, striving to be an imitator of our Heavenly Father, striving to walk in the footsteps of Jesus, when we are following Him, we are not walking in darkness, but we do have the light of life. That's an imperative statement. When we're following Him, we're not following after the flesh. But be aware, it's a moment by moment decision. Not just a daily choice, but a moment-by-moment decision. Our heart and our mind have to be renewed moment by moment, that we might walk in the light and not walk in the darkness. Jesus said in John 12:36, "While you have light, believe in that light, that you may be the children of light." The manifest children of light. And Jesus said this, "I am come as a light in the world, that whosoever believes on me should not abide in darkness." We no longer have to wallow in darkness, but we have the light of life. So we were sometimes darkness, but now are we light in the Lord. Now we are to walk as children of light. And how can we do that? How? We don't have the ability within ourselves, but by the fruit of the Spirit of God. For he says in verse 9, "For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth." Through the fruit of the Holy Spirit, if you're a born-again child of God, you have the Spirit in your heart and you have the fruit of that Spirit. And what is the fruit of the Spirit? It's found in Galatians 5:22. Just a few pages back in your Bibles. Galatians is before Ephesians. Galatians 5:22-23. And there's a ninefold part to the fruit of the Spirit. But the fruit of the Spirit, the first part of that fruit is love. Remember, he says in verse 2 of our text that we're to walk in love. The love of God. Love permeates all other fruit of the Spirit. And then joy. If you have the Lord Jesus living in your heart, you have great joy. How do you spell joy? Jesus first, others second, and yourself last. You have the peace of God in your heart. And then, long-suffering. We have to develop that one. Patience, gentleness, goodness, faith or faithfulness, meekness, temperance. That means self-control. Against such, there's no law. And all of these allow us or enable us to walk as the children of light. Then he says in verse 10 of our text, "Proving what is acceptable unto the Lord." That is, first of all, it shows before the Lord that we're doing those things that are acceptable in His sight. But then there's another idea there, that we are to test those things. Test and try those things. And only do those things that are pleasing to Him. Now, Jesus is the only one that could say that He always did those things pleasing to His Father. Sometimes we fall. Sometimes we sin. But our desire should be to please Him. Don't have fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove or rebuke them. Because it's a shame to even speak of those things that are done of them in secret. Now, most of the time, you know, sinful behavior happens under the cover of darkness. Under the cover of darkness. He says that in verse 13. "But all things that are reproved are made manifest by the light." Look in John chapter 3, verses 20 and 21. Now in John chapter 3, Jesus said this in verse 20 and 21. Let's look in verse 19. 19:20. John 3:19. And this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world. Jesus said, I am that light. Now here's the condemnation. That light, the light of Christ, is come into the world. And men, what did they do? They love darkness rather than light. Why? Because their deeds were evil, sinful. For everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither comes to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved or made known. But he that doeth or practices truth cometh to the light, that his deeds may be made manifest openly, that they are wrought in God. That the Lord enables us to walk in truth and walk in the light. And then in verse 14, there is a great exhortation. He's quoting from Isaiah, the prophet Isaiah, from chapter 60, where the Old Testament prophet said, Awake, thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. Now, there's two applications to that. First, before you're born again, you're dead in sin. And we have no life in Christ. We're spiritually dead. And Jesus in John 5 says, when you're born again, it's like being raised from the dead and awakened out of sleep. But I believe the primary application here is for God's children who are, as the old proverbial statement is, asleep at the wheel. You don't want to fall asleep at the wheel when you're driving. We want to be fully alert and fully engaged in the service of God. Sometimes we have gone to sleep in our service to the Lord. And we need to be awakened out of our sleep. We become lazy. We become lethargic. We become apathetic sometimes. And we need to be awakened. We need to be re-energized. We need to be revived, don't we? We need to be revived. And so that's what that exhortation says. Awake thou who sleepest, and arise from the dead. It's just like we have died. We need to wake up and be re-engaged in our service to the Lord. And when we do, Jesus Christ shall give you His light. That's a promise. He will do that for you and me. He shall give you His light. But then we've got to do it immediately. There's an imperative here. And I want to close with this. Look at verses 15 through 17. See then, in light of what He said, that you walk circumspectly. That is, looking all around. Not as fools, but as wise men. Redeeming the time because the days are evil. We have to live today for Him because we're not promised tomorrow. Be not therefore unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. Let God bless you is my prayer for Christ's sake.